Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. We've got a great show lined up for you straight ahead. Robert Schaefer is our first guest. He's our first victim. He's the author, along with Ronald Ashkenas, of a book called Rapid Results. It's a brand new book out. Rapid Results, How 100-Day Projects Build the Capacity for Large-Scale Change. Robert is the founder of Robert H. Schaefer and Associates. He is also the author of another book, The Breakthrough Strategy. He's the author of a number of articles that you may have seen in the Harvard Business Review. And he's our new friend. Robert, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Nice to be here with you.
It's good to have you here. And, you know, Robert, one of the things I've been talking about for a long time with my audience is reminding them that there's really nothing new under the sun with regard to change. That you know, whatever we have today is not all that much different from what we used to have. When you think about it, a computer is no more exciting to us today than a wheel was, you know, 5,000 years ago. But the difference for us is that things are changing so fast. And that really creates a challenge for, especially, well, for everybody really in the marketplace, but especially for small business owners. And have you got some help for us?
Yes. Well, I think one way to think about it is, and I think you're right, the problem of change has always been sort of, how do you get a lot of different people to agree on what we have to do differently today, mm-hmm. what we have to do differently tomorrow? So people are always being told, if they read the business journals, don't do anything very quickly. Don't do anything immediate. Don't do anything short term. You have to plan it out. You have to think it through. And we think that's a lot of nonsense. We think that the best way to learn how to make large-scale change or fundamental change is to do some short-term things and use them as learning experiences.
Are you talking about making... One of the things that I like to talk about is and encourage small business owners to do is to make lots of decisions and make lots of little decisions rather than waiting till they become big decisions and have to make those. Is that what you're talking about?
That's exactly right in line with what we're talking about. Instead of spending forever thinking about what you might want to do and planning it and studying it but standing still, make some small changes that have, you know, rather small risks connected,
mm-hmm.
and learn from them. Don't just do them. I think the reason short-term projects have gotten a bad name is because people sort of say, oh, well, we got to get this done. Let's drop everything else and do this. Well, that's no way to live. What you have to do is carve off small step projects, improve one thing instead of working on the whole product line. If you go on a upgrade the functioning of like a retail store. Mm-hmm. Work on one department. Work with a few employees. Try it. Experiment and learn.
When I was learning how to fly an airplane on instruments, one of the things my instructor said to me over and over and over again is successfully flying an airplane on instruments is about making lots of teeny tiny little corrections. Because if you wait too long, you overcompensate. You wind up oscillating and you know, you when you make a big correction, that requires another big correction. And he was saying that if you see yourself going off course 1 degree, make a 1 degree correction. If you wait till you're 5 degrees off, then you got to make a 5 degree correction. And before long, you've gone right through you've gone right back through your course, and you're off 5 degrees on the other side. And do you see that happening in the marketplace?
Yeah, I think business leaders want to get the right answer, and they spend a lot of time waiting and thinking and studying instead of small experimentation. We work with an insurance company. They had a problem of overpayment on their claims, and they spent months or maybe even a couple of years thinking about how to solve that problem instead of just going, as they eventually did when we got involved with them, going into one branch and setting a goal for a couple of months that we were going to reduce this overpayment just in this one place. And then we're going to learn from that and we can do it in the other places.
Basically, aren't you talking about what's called testing?
Yes, absolutely.
Testing and measuring.
And learning.
Yeah.
Yes, every one of these projects has to have a measurement of some kind of a result.
What do you think causes people to focus on the big changes rather than the small ones? It would seem to be intuitive that you'd want to make the small ones first. Is it because, especially for the larger companies, they think since they're on such a large scale in the marketplace, they have to make these kind of sweeping changes?
I think that's part of it. I think all the management consultants who want to be brought in on these assignments believe that they really should solve everything at once, and that really requires long-term studies and major changes rather than the small experimental. These small experimental steps, which anybody can do on their own or with relatively little help, doesn't fit in the model of large-scale consulting projects that take months and months to study and that have these big comprehensive solutions. I think, and one of the reasons, you know, wherever we've done this, in large companies and small companies, and in governments and in hospitals, the success rate is very, very high. But people are really afraid to trust their own, what you call testing, experimental capacity. And when organizations do that and try some things and innovate, and then see what they've learned, and then try it in the next place, and then the next place, and the next place. And as you say, with the flying on instruments, you constantly make these small changes, and it's much less risky, too, because it's when you make the big changes that you run the big risks.
Is impatience part of the problem here? Robert, do you think it's because are we impatient and we want to make the big score, the big dramatic splash, the big change?
I think that's part of it. We're trained, and a lot of the academic writing and management, and a lot of the business articles, sort of urge people to really understand the whole problem and create the whole strategy. Whereas the way you really learn, just as you learned how to fly instruments, the way you learn is to experiment and test.
Right. Robert, stand by for a few. We're going to take a quick break. Robert Schaefer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author, the co-author of the new book. It's just out now, Rapid Results. We're going to be right back after these messages. 20 after, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back.
Billy makes it fast. One more thing.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago when I interviewed Scott Peck, the author of the wonderful book, The Road Less Traveled. Well, we lost Scott last week. And those of you who remember the interview, and you, by the way, you can go find that interview on my website under Scott's name, M. Scott Peck, in my Brain Trust list. There is that one interview still up there on the archives. I value that very highly. His book, The Road Less Traveled, meant a lot to me. And he's a neighbor of our friend and our new friend and guest this half hour, Robert Schaefer. He was from Connecticut. And Robert, I know that you noticed that Mr. Peck had died, and just a very important person in the life of a lot of Americans. Here's a quote from him, Robert, that ties in with what you and I were talking about. Scott Peck said, "We must be willing to fail and to appreciate the truth that often life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived." And this is not unlike at all what you talk about in your book, isn't it?
No, it's very similar. Well, because we really urge business leaders to not sort of try to solve all the issues of creation, but rather to experiment with how to make things happen better, and then to learn from those experiments and then to carry on in an expanded way.
One of the things, and by the way, folks, I want to dedicate this show today, my entire show today, to the memory of M. Scott Peck. And Robert, I know you won't mind me saying that, and just a great American who's passed from us too soon. Robert, one of the things that small business owners have to deal with is we've got too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on. We've already got too much to do. And now you're coming in here telling us you want us to create rapid results. How do we fit all this in?
Well, the thing that most people don't realize is that in every organization, even if people are working very hard, very busy, taking work home on the weekends and so forth, there's always a certain amount of capacity, because a lot of what we do in human organizations really is, I hate to say it this way, but it's wasted. People don't do their best all the time. People going, one department's pushing north, the other department's pushing south. And the way you can tell is whenever there's a real crisis, must-do situation, organizations are suddenly capable of doing things that seem breathtaking. You know, there's some very famous examples of that when the Apollo 13 mission went out and got in trouble way out.
Houston, we have a problem.
Right. They had to do a number of things to get those people back. And one of them, they had to write some new software to get the powering up the CM after its long sleep. Mm-hmm. And the flight controllers here on Earth wrote some software in about 3 days instead of what it usually takes them 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
A number of years ago, we were working with a carpet company in Atlanta when they had a record snowstorm. Well, buildings aren't built for snow loads down there.
Right.
The building collapsed. They had two production lines. They were able to get one fixed and running. The other was ruined. But within a week, that one line was producing the same amount as both lines had been producing before the storm.
What this reminds me of, Robert, is when we'll watch a football game, and it'll be the dullest game in the world until the last 2 minutes, and then it gets exciting.
Right.
That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Right. Well, because what we call the zest factors, it's short-term, results count right away, your own role is important, and you realize we have to stop messing around and get on with it. And everybody really knows how to do that, except during normal times. We don't pay any attention to this. We work in, basically, most organizations, even the best, have all kinds of inefficiencies.
But can we operate at that level, that high adrenaline level all the time, Robert?
Well, you end up, let's say we're operating at 50% most of the time, and you can operate at 99% for an hour or two. Well, how about trying to go from 50% up to 70%? Well,
yeah.
We've seen over and over again, if you take some of the same factors that happen in a football game in the last couple of minutes, or that happen in a crisis, or that happen when Apollo 13 is human beings are stuck 200,000 miles away,
mm-hmm.
and you build those into projects. In other words, pick something that's short-term, pick something that's got a real measurable result, and as you said earlier, don't be afraid of failure. So make sure that these are modest projects. They fail very rarely. We always tell people, don't worry about failing, because if they're worrying about failing, they won't even try.
That's the beauty of the small decisions. If you do fail, they're small failures.
That's right.
And they're probably not going to take you down.
Right. And the fact is, they don't fail.
Yeah.
But you do have to do a little experimentation and take a chance and move, not stand around and consider.
Mm-hmm. I like what Thomas Edison said. Failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work.
That's right.
Robert, give us your website, please.
www.rhsa.com.
RHSA, and the book is called Rapid Results. It's on in bookstores right even as we speak, isn't it?
It's moving into bookstores this week, right?
Amazon too. Got it at Amazon.
It's on Amazon. Yep, you can find it there.
Robert Schaefer, thank you, Robert. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Okay, Jim. Thanks so much. Nice to see you.
Quick break. Right back with Mark Mayberry.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.